You're listening to WMIE, Cocoa, Rockledge, Melbourne, and the Beaches, and W272BA, Cocoa Beach, and Vieira.
Welcome to WGOD Radio, the radio ministry of Island Community Church. Your host for WGOD Radio is Bible teacher and translator Pastor Paul Esposito, senior pastor of Island Community Church, located in Merritt Island, Florida. And now here for today's program is Pastor Paul.
Welcome back once again to WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time. This is your host and speaker for this program. I am Pastor Paul Esposito coming to you from Island Community Church. God bless you. Happy Wednesday to you. Thank you for spending 30 minutes of your Wednesday. Hey, it's hump day already. Praise God, we're halfway through this week, whether it's 6:30 a.m., 7:30 here on WMIE, 5:30 in the afternoon, whatever the time is, I thank you for joining us here today. Thank you for spending 30 minutes with us here. We're going through the Word of God. We're going to be encouraged today by the Apostle Paul and his great instruction. And he's going to build up to this look at everything that God has done for us behind the scenes, starting with, he says, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. And that we're heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. I mean, imagine that on this Wednesday. Who would you rather? Now, I've received an inheritance before from my both mom and dad, who both passed away within 18 months of each other. But who would you rather receive an inheritance from? Your Uncle Harry's cutlery collection? Or Aunt Josephine's Pink Floyd radio set? Or Jehovah? And he's getting a grasp of this. And that's what's going to make him shout out later saying, what shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? And that's the title of this sermon, God is for Me. Praise God. We love to see you at church tonight, 6 o'clock. Jonah is the book. The Old Testament prophet, that's brand new study starting tonight. We would love to see you here now, Wednesday and Thursday. God is for me.
And I'm just so proud of you guys. Caleb, spiritual leader of your family, really proud of you, brother. Okay, are we rolling? Okay, are we rolling back there, Mr. Whiting? Okay. Everyone's kids are dismissed, not everyone. We haven't got into it yet. Want to thank everyone, too. All of the food pantry volunteers that serve here at Island, thank you so much. We served 68 adults and 13 children yesterday, and thank you to everyone. And okay, let's get going here in the Word now. God is for Me is the name of this sermon. Does everyone have one of these handouts? Now, Christiana mentioned to me, she loves blanks on her handouts. So, though I don't have any, you can write five blanks on this handout, and we're going to cover all five of those here coming up. We're in Romans chapter 8. Now, starting here in verse 12. The Apostle Paul is going to show us our true spiritual condition and our standing. Those of us who have called on the name of the Lord. See, you are more to God than you realize. Oh, it's a lot deeper than that, who you are and your standing. It's a lot deeper than just coming to church for 1 hour on a Sunday morning. It's a lot deeper than that. We're going to find out here. When Paul got to the end of this, he says, you know what? This just makes me want to shout. When I look and see everything that's transpired to me in the spiritual realm that God did to me when I called on the name of the Lord. And when I plugged in my spark plug wires and got baptized. Oh, you're saved without getting baptized. That doesn't save you. You're just running on a few cylinders. You'll chug away and cross the finish line on one leg. He tells us to get baptized, right? That's all that we need, right? Okay, now here in verse 12, he's going to start to tell us that you and I now, we now have some obligations now that we need to keep. We are indebted, is the word that he uses. Let's pick it up in Romans chapter 8. Let's pick it up here in verse 12. Let's pray first. Lord God Almighty, we praise your holy name in this your house. Thank you for this continuing work that you're doing in here. Moving and shaking, adding more names to the book of life, helping us plug in our spark plug wires here. We thank you for all that you're doing. Open up our eyes here to all of these great truths you have in store for us here today. Help us to arrive at the same conclusion that the Apostle Paul came to. That if you be for us, who in this world could ever be against us? That's our goal where we're shooting at here today. Only you can get us there. May I not get in the way? Move here today. We listen for your voice. Speak to our spirits now, Lord. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen. Okay, verse 12. It's a two-bottle morning this morning. He says, therefore, brethren, we are debtors. That is, in light of all that God's done for us and to us, we are debtors. That means we owe somebody something. We're in debt, or we are indebted to somebody. You have an obligation to devote the rest of your time here on earth to walk according to the Spirit. That's your obligation now. After all that he's done for you, you now are indebted to him to walk according to the Holy Spirit. In light of who you are now, in light of all that God has done in your life, in light of the fact that God has delivered you from hellfire, snatched you out of from the gates of hell, which if you were left to your own devices, you would have entered into, believe me. So, therefore, he says, we are debtors. And notice what we're obligated. He says, notice we're obligated to live in a particular way, he's going to say. Our obligation is to live a certain way. He's going to say live three times right here. Therefore, brothers, we are debtors not to the flesh, that is, not to your body. Remember, we've looked at last couple weeks. I've likened sin to an unwelcome house guest. Lives on the inside of us. He's got a free lease. He's never going away. We are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. Now, the New American Standard puts it this way. So then, brethren, we're under obligation, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you are living, catch the continual action, the way they word that. New American Standard's the best Bible translation for accurate verb tenses. For if you are living according to the flesh, listen to this. You must die. The Greek word melai, it means must. Like when Jesus said, I must be about my Father's business. If you live your life feeding your unwelcome house guest, you must die. There's no other choice. You're not going to lose your salvation because you didn't save yourself. But you're going to leave this world a little bit early. You must die. But if by the Spirit you are putting to death. Notice again the continual action. It's an ongoing thing. Beating the tar out of sin in your life. It's an ongoing thing. Unfortunately, we have to just day by day, to continue to fight and win this victory. If you are living according to the flesh, you must die. But if by the Spirit you are putting to death the deeds of the body, you will live. So if you are living according to the flesh, that is, if all you do is follow your natural impulses, and if all you do is feed your unwelcome house guest, then you must die. Now for the alternative is verse 14. He says, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God." One of my all-time favorite verses. "For as many of you as are led by the Holy Spirit of God, all of you are the sons and daughters of God." Is that you? More often than not, you don't even understand. Perhaps you never will understand what or where the Spirit of God is leading you. He's not calling you to understand. He's calling you to be obedient to what He says. Proverbs 3:5 says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all of your ways acknowledge Him and He will direct your paths." Those of us who belong to Him are led by Him. And many times we don't understand why or where He is leading. But let me encourage you today to trust in the Lord no matter what. Even when you don't understand, in all of your ways, acknowledge Him. That's what's required of you. Just acknowledge Him. That is, "God help me. I don't understand why I have to endure this. I don't understand why I'm suffering like this. I don't understand why." Now you can just dot, 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 church family, and add your own, what's that called, a predicate. Finish the sentence yourself. "I don't understand why..." Whatever it is that you're going through, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. That is, don't take matters into your own hands. Trust God when you're going through something. Let Him see you through. We're going to see here in a minute that all things work together for good to those that love God. But we say, if this path that you're leading me down, I know you'll give me the grace that I need to travel down it. Do you trust the Lord like that, church? Verse 15. "For you did not receive the spirit of bondage, again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father." So, two choices: slavery or sonship. A slave to fear. Now, drug companies pander all the time to this slavery. Slavery to fear. They pander to those that are bound up. You're either one of these two. You are either an adopted son of Almighty God, or you are a slave to fear. Step on a crack, right? Break your mama's back. Those commercials, I'm ready to throw my television out the window. You know, they want to throw it out and see what sticks. Do you suffer from this? Do you suffer from this? And people, they cower in fear because they don't understand that God is for them and on your side. Trust God. As for us Christians, we have been adopted into the family of God, as verse 17 is going to show us here in a second. Verse 16, though, it says, "The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God." Now, I believe that every Christian who's ever lived, at least once in your lifetime, maybe many times, will experience this phenomenon in your life. When the Holy Spirit, remember John 4:24, God is spirit, and those who worship Him must worship in spirit and truth. That's how He's everywhere at the same time, okay? I believe at least once in everyone's life as a Christian, The Holy Spirit will confirm to your spirit that you belong to Him. I believe that. 99 out of 100 times, that'll come as you read the supernatural word of Almighty God. Or as you hear it preached, like right here and now in God's house. Many of you, from any given day or time, God will confirm with your spirit, you know what? You belong to me. And it's just something happens on the inside of you. It's just confirmation that you get of God's seal of ownership on you. That's good news. Now, verse 17, building on the word children and children of God. He says, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. What a monumental statement that is. Has anyone here ever inherited something from someone else's last will and testament? That's how I ended up personally out of the poorhouse. Both father and mother passing away within 18 months of each other. But yep, I inherited from my father. Now imagine inheriting something from your heavenly father. The apostle Paul wrote that eyes not seen, nor is ear heard, nor is entered into the hearts of men that which God has prepared for those that love Him. Imagine that this morning. Imagine inheriting God's stuff. You, an adopted son and daughter of God. I mean, what would you rather inherit, God's stuff or your father's cutlery set? Or grandpa's Pink Floyd record collection? Well, I don't know about that one. Could be kind of nice. Oh. Imagine that. But wait, there's more. You see, there's a comma there as a Ginzu knife salesman. But wait, there's a comma here. He's not done. There's a comma right there. Check out the itty-bitty word if right there in verse 17. He says, if we're children, then we're heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. Look what it says next. If we, what does it say? Dum, da, dum, dum. There's the S word. Suffer. If we suffer with Him. So that, look at the end result, we may be glorified together. Let me read another verse to you as well. This is the verse that God gave me when my wife passed away 10 years ago. Friday. As my life then was filled with grief, and then some. And that verse, which he spoke to me in the hospice, was Philippians 1:29. And it was the shortest argument in the history of mankind. From me running everyone out of a hospital room to God speaking Philippians 1:29 to me. And it says this. It says, for to you it's been granted not only to believe, for you it's been granted on behalf of Christ not only to believe in Him, but also to suffer for His sake. Now, my life's never been the same since I digested that verse. And it spread like some kind of supernatural antacid on the inside of me. And also, that was another time in my life that Romans 8:16 became real to me. His spirit bared witness with mine, you see, that I belong to Him. When God it was just one of those times in my life, when my wife no longer had breath in her. It's a hard pill to swallow. But when God tells you something, He gives you the grace as well. And my life's never been the same. But what a perfect segue to what I want to look at next. And that from Philippians 1:29, not only am I granted to suffer, but also it says, I've been granted to believe, he says. You see, salvation is of the Lord. It has been granted to me. That's the Greek word charis, like charismatic. A charis means gift. It has been gifted to me to believe in Jesus Christ. It's a gift. I can't work for it. I'm not going to put money in the offering plate to get it. Out of his goodness and grace, it's a gift. Now let's move down to verse 28 here, Romans 8:28. And we'll get to those five blanks I mentioned here in a minute ago. Though you'll see them here on the handout. I've got five words highlighted and underlined on the handout. Verse 28. It says, and we know. Well, we do know it, right? We do know that everything works together for good. Right? He's assuming that we know that. He's assuming he's assuming you understand that God is larger and in charge and that God is for you and on your side. That's a little hard one to digest sometimes too. All things work together for good. Verse 28, and we know that all things work together for good to those that love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose. I originally wrote in my notes here maybe the greatest verse in all of Romans, but then I realized I say that every week. All things work together for good for a particular group of people. And that particular group of people would be you, Mr. and Mrs. Genuine Christian. All things work together for good to those of you that love God. How can he say that? I've had lots of bad things happen to me in my life. How about you? Answer, because God is large and in charge. He is sovereign. God is greater than the issues that you're going through in your life. He orchestrates all the events in your life. He can even take the bad things that happen to you and cause them to work out for your good. This is how the Apostle Paul can write to you twice. He says this. He says in Ephesians 5:20, he says, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of Jesus Christ. Also this, 1 Thessalonians 5:18. They're both on here. In case you weren't sure if you heard me right. Meditate on that. Giving thanks always for all things. Now, Paul and Silas did that in the Philippian jail with blood coming out of his back. He said, you know what? I'm going to thank God because I know I'm going to lean not on my own understanding. And I got to believe that God's got a plan. So what does it say? It says that they sang hymns to God when they were going through trials. And then the Bible says, and the prisoners heard them. People are watching to see how you are going to respond when you're undergoing trials in your life. They're watching you. They're watching you. What are you going to do in adversity? Are you going to act like everyone else? You going to call Eli Lilly? Or are you going to call on Jehovah? 1 Thessalonians 5:18. So first we saw for everything give thanks. Now he says in everything give thanks, in case you didn't hear him the first time. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Now he wouldn't instruct you to do that if God was not in charge of everything. And he is in charge. All things work together for good, that is, to everyone out here who loves the Lord. If you don't love God, then he's not talking to you. He's talking to someone else. However, God knows all the whosoever's out here in the world who will someday become part of the family of God. So even if you sit here as an unbeliever today, everything can still work out good for you because God knows the ending from the beginning. He wouldn't instruct you, though, to give thanks for everything if God wasn't in charge. Maybe tomorrow or the next day, you will be able to experience this verse in action like all of us have. Notice two things here, starting in 8:29. First, notice the personal pronoun I is nowhere in this text. Now, I got in chapter 7 just a little while ago, and I counted how many times the word I and the word me is there. And I come up with 47 times. When it relates to my struggle, it's me. When it relates to my salvation, by golly, it's him. You don't find the word I in this portion of Scripture. You find the word he. Because, like Nehemiah says, salvation is of the Lord. So, notice, I is nowhere here. When it comes to your salvation, only you'll find the word he. Second of all, notice how these string of verbs are all in the past tense. Now he's building off this statement. How and why? How can I possibly believe that all things are going to work together for good? This is an evil world. All things work together for good for those that are called according to his, what's the word? Purpose. It's the word prothesis, like our word thesis. I got to be thinking thesis. Here's mine. That my thesis for my PhD is 787 pages, size 8 font, single spaced. That was my thesis to earn my PhD. So it's something that's written down, you see. But now with God, instead of thesis, you got to add the word pro to it, which means written in advance. It's written in advance for those that are called according to his. You see, God's got his own thesis. And not only that, it's already done. It's already done and it's already on display. Even for those that have not called on the name of the Lord yet, by golly, it's already, his prothesis is already done. Is your name in the book?
You have been listening to WGOD Radio, the radio ministry of Island Community Church. You are cordially invited to attend one of our services at Island. We meet Wednesday evening at 6 p.m. for Bible study, and Sunday morning service starts at 10:30. Island Community Church is located at 1000 North Banana River Drive in Merritt Island. The church's email is islandcc1000@gmail.com. Join us again next time for WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time.